Father, we thank you for such an opportunity to behold you and to mount up with wings, to go up, to climb up. We thank you for an opportunity to awake out of the slumber. As the psalmist prayed, we're praying even this afternoon. We say, O Lord, enlighten our eyes.
Amen.
Lest we sleep the sleep of death.
Amen.
So the rich and the poor meet. They come before you. But you are the one that enlightened their eyes. We pray for light. In the midst of darkness,
amen.
We say, let there be light.
Amen.
Let there be light, O God. Let there be light in our understanding. Let there be light in our thoughts. Let there be light in our emotions.
Amen.
Let there be light in our passions.
Amen.
In the realms of Babylon within us, let there be light.
Amen.
We ask you to enlighten our darkness.
Amen.
We ask for strength.
Amen.
We ask for understanding.
Amen.
We're praying you might strengthen us with strength in the inward man.
Amen.
We need it, O God. We bless you. We ask for strength. We ask for your overshadowing. We ask for your grace. Let the entrance of your word be light and life. For thy word is light.
Oh, yeah.
And thy word is a light unto us, O Lord. We just bless your name. Receive grace to lay hold upon your word.
Amen.
Receive grace to treasure it, to hide it. For he said that is how we overcome. Oh, my take care, you might take care to take heed to your word. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that there is a practical word that is being spoken by the Lord unto us at this time. Yes. Yes. Maybe you can help me from that side.
Now you need to help here, you know, to tune it more up. No, here.
I'm new.
Yes. Amen. I have to tune it up from within. Amen. I believe that we need clarity at this time because it's critical. Like Mark was saying, I don't really know where to start, but let me start from a word that the Lord spoke concerning this meeting and this gathering. I actually forgot it until the afternoon, the morning, when Brother Bot was there. He was speaking to me for this time. It is 2 Samuel chapter 17. This word is a various word. I'm taking permission to come here. So maybe you might consider doing justice to it later. This is the story of David and Absalom. And in this setting, Absalom speaks of the devil. So we are looking at different planes of the world. So I'm looking at it at the spiritual dimension. Okay, so we know the story, but there is an application to you and me. And in this sentence, we are dealing with Absalom and his people, and then we're also dealing with David, which will represent the people of God. And it was a time of rebellion. We know the story, so I'm just trying to set a foundation, then later on we can get into the word. So I'm going to verse 16 of 2 Samuel 17. It says, "Now therefore, send quickly and tell David, saying, Lord not this night in the plains of the wilderness." That's the word. And this is the word that is being spoken across the church at this time. If you are not hearing anything, this is the prophetic word you need to hear. That the night is coming. The night is fast falling upon the earth. Last Sunday, somebody asked a question in the fellowship, you know, back home. He said, "What is a beast?" He was reading something that Brassette had written, and he asked the question, "What is a beast?" So I had to explain, what is a beast? And the example I gave was the German Wings pilot. That's the example of a beast. You understand? Yeah. That is how a beast manifests. But for its own, it was temporary. You know, there's no way. God was talking about it. There's no way you will, that in natural soul or mind or emotion or individual, you will attack someone who has done you no wrong. You know, unprovoked aggression. So the scriptures tell us that you know, the soul is in between two realms, two spiritual realities, the spirit and the body. The soul is in between. And the spirit of man is subservient of the spirit of God. Okay. And so if this was the soul, you have the body, and then you have the spirit of man. But this arrangement is not in isolation. It is opened to two other dimensions of spirit. You know, the kingdom of the devil, and then the kingdom of light of God. When this cancels out, this kingdom or that kingdom will have dominion over the soul, and therefore whatever manifests on the earth. So it is possible that for some time, for it, you know, well, for however it manifests, that a contrary spirit overshadows the soul, overshadows the mind and emotion, and you have a manifestation. Somebody does something that you say, this is not natural. This is spirit that has broken in and taken control of the mind or emotion. Of course, you have the emotions here, you have the desire here, you have the mind somewhere here, and then you have the will. You know, so these foreign are subject to the higher dimension of the spirit. And we are coming to a time, pardon? Light.
The kingdom of light.
It's light. Okay, so let me say the kingdom of God. Okay, God. Oh my God.
Interpret your drawing.
Oh my goodness. Okay, darkness and light. Okay. And then you have the soul. So you have this, you know, the human spirit. And then you have the soul. And then you have the body.
Praise the Lord.
So this is the arrangement in the spirit. The human spirit is a gift from God to pull us this way.
Yes.
Amen. But depending on what is happening here, you can have a submission to the darkness. That actually is what I want to talk about. And then the mind, emotions become overwhelmed and you have a manifestation of darkness. So what we see is that so ask your question. Okay. So the point I was making to say light, darkness is coming on the earth in the sense that we are going to be having more and more of this type of pull. So in other words, darkness will be breaking in more and more into the realm of the soul. But it's not in isolation, because the more we say this, then we know the more there is an opportunity for a people to also break into light.
Amen.
Amen. So back again to 2 Samuel. He says, lodge not this night in the plains, in the wilderness, but speedily pass over. Let the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him.
Yes.
Amen. So that word is very it's instructive. There is a call not to lodge in the wilderness. The plains is very specific. The plains, you speak of the low places. And he says, pass over. And he says, do it speedily. If you read down, the counsel that was given to Absalom was to say, there is something that is happening to the church. I don't know about you, but that is what is happening to me. If you read the preceding verses, if you go to verse 1 and 2, you look at the counsel of Ahithophel, and that is the word that is being spoken in the spirit about you and about me. It says, moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, let me now choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary.
Oh my God.
And weak handed. And I will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king. Amen. This is the counsel of the devil to break in on the church. And there is a warrant that is being sent, and that word is saying, do not abide in the low place. Pass over speedily this night. Now, the question is, what are we passing over? It's also very instructive. If you go over to verse 22, Then David arose, and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. Mm-hmm. Amen. By the morning light, there lacked not one of them.
Hallelujah.
That was not gone over Jordan.
Amen.
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 So it is important to be deliberate, to repeat ourselves. You know, because the commandment is what God is speaking is very clear and specific. We are to move and cross Jordan. But where is Jordan? Can we locate Jordan? We are familiar with this picture. And in this picture, this is Jordan. The Jordan is the barrier between the outer court and the holy place. So here you have the outer court, and this is the holy place. I'm so much blessed by this message, because it has been doing something to me. The entrance to the outer court is the gate. It's 20 cubits. You can't hear me?
No.
My God. Okay, so I think I pushed it down.
Hello?
The entrance to the outer court is a gate, and it has a dimension, it's 20 cubits. 20 is the number of redemption. So, and you get 24 by 5. 5, of course, is grace. 5, the 4 speaks of judgment, but it also speaks of the soul. Because there are 4 dimensions, 4 natures in the soul. So, this is the movement of the soul into the kingdom of God, which is all white. So this is all white. So it's speaking of light. So this is the light, and then this is the darkness. But the entrance into the holy place is our interest. It's called the door, and that door is a person. And that person is the resurrection. And that person is eternity. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I'm talking to the amen.
Amen.
You know, it's a reality, it's not a concept. The days of concept are over, they are outside the door. You know, so we are coming into the place of reality. Jesus is a person. Yeah. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he is the eternal, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the one that is, that was, and is to come. He's all the one person. So this speaks of a relationship which I don't have. You know, for many of us, Jesus is a concept. You know, we woke up in the morning and say, oh yes, let me, you know, when I'm in church, let me think of Jesus. But you see, to come into the holy place begins with a relationship. Amen. I thought I heard a big amen.
Amen.
When you are in the outer court, this thing is a concept. God is an idea. Amen. That can pass in the realm of the outer court. Of course, we know there are 2 things there. We have the laver and then the altar. Amen. Yeah. But we're speaking of Jordan. And Jordan means death. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Jordan means death.
Yeah.
And the word is saying, night is coming upon the outer court. Because they told David, do not lodge in the plain. Do not lodge in the low place.
Yes. Yeah.
In terms of geographical expression. The outer court or the wilderness is a, will be a low place, a low dimension, Judea, a low place in God. So to go into the holy place means you are going up higher. Okay, so you are moving up in the spirit. And the entrance into this place of experience is Christ. So there is a quality control. Anyone that's going to go into the holy place must come under, there's only one head. So if I'm going to go in here, then I must lose my head. Because it's only one body. There's, remember, it's one high priest that goes in, and this high priest is still going to go in further. You know, so there are certain things that are changing that God is speaking of. I don't know about you, where you are. I don't know what commitments you have made. But this has gone beyond a story. It has gone beyond a concept. We are talking about a relationship.
Amen.
What relationship do you have with the head? Amen. Let me give you an example. In Isaiah 4, it says, seven women, they will take hold of one man. And they say, what did they say? We are going to feed ourselves. What did let us be called?
By your name.
By your name. You see, the thing that is going to characterize the church is the head. What head do you have?
Yes.
And what is going to characterize, what really brings it out practically is energy. If you permit my words, I use other words, energy.
Sure.
Or life. Or power. Okay. You know, because every head fits the body. Every head fits the body.
Yeah.
If you are feeding yourself, then you are not married. Don't you understand? If I'm feeding myself, then I'm not in the body. How I know I'm in the body is that the husband loves the wife, isn't that so? And nourishes and feeds and protects and guides. Amen. That's the responsibility of the head. So if I'm the one doing it, then you say something is wrong. I'm not really part of the body. So that means I'm still in the outer court. And I am in danger of the light, or sorry, of the night, of the darkness, which I want to touch on briefly. If we go to Revelation 12. Now, I was sharing yesterday night something I found out. God is going to do something to the outer court. And the activity, there's a pressure that has to come upon the outer court. And the reason for that is to drive the people, well, let me say the people, drive me from the outer court into the holy place. That there has to be a pressure that will drive me, that will push me forward. If I really want to move forward, because it has to be a two-way movement. It's either I'm moving in, or actually I'll find that darkness moves in. You know, so darkness is breaking into the church, and it's pushing very strong upon the hills. And the church has to make a decision. When I say the church, me and you, we have to make a decision. Are we going to move forward into the when we talk about the holy place, we are speaking about a relationship with Christ, a personal relationship. When we are born again, we all had this relationship, but we are speaking about a restoration of that relationship with Christ. Now, let's read Revelation 12. If you look at verse 14, and to the woman, again, of course, the woman is speaking of the church. We are giving two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and the dividing of time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the woman helped, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. What are we going to see?
Yeah.
We're going to see a flood. A flood is going to come. And it's going to come from all quarters. The church is... Well, let me not say the church. I am going to be under pressure. And this pressure is allowed of God. And so you and I have to be in a place where, like Brother Bob, the dream that was shared, the thing about discernment, I have to be able to discern that the condition I am in, what effect is it having upon me? You know, you can look at that condition and you can complain. Sometimes God might take it away, but it doesn't mean that it's a blessing. It might just be like, it may be a missed opportunity for you to have climbed up higher. Amen.
Amen.
My God, too much quietness. I don't know what's going on. So, where are you? Are you in the comfort zone or are you under the pressure? If you're under the pressure, look well. It may be that God has ordained it.
Yes.
And that pressure is to drive you to the head.
Yes.
To the head. So if the pressure is not bringing you closer under the head, then it means your response and my response is not proper. You understand? You know, the purpose of the pressure is to restore a close and intimate walk with the head. Amen.
Amen.
And when you get it, then you know it has served this purpose. Amen. So this is telling us that there's going to be pressure, there's going to be a flood, and God has no solution. There is no provision for safety for the outer God. I mean, he was talking about the slaughtering of Christians 2 years ago. God said, the place of safety is in the underground church.
In the what?
Underground church.
Underground.
Oh. The church has to go underground. Because anything is going to be an advertisement and a call for slaughter. You know, so when the things in Iraq, in Nigeria, we're seeing different places, Pakistan, you know, there was this situation we had to pray. There was in Kenya and so on, no, and in Europe, France, everywhere. Where there was this missionary lady in Nigeria, in the missionary school, they went and picked her. You understand? And that was in Kwara, not even in Northeast Nigeria, it was Central. You know, they went and picked her. You know, and we began to pray, say, God, you have to intervene. And she was released. Isn't it? Nobody is safe. And that was the point I'm trying to, you know, that God, the point that's been made. I wish that none of us will feel because we're in London that we are safe. We're not. Or even in Germany, you're in the US, nobody is safe. You understand? So the trouble that's about to break out is the flood. It's allowed of God. And it is a driving force to move us in. Because there is a commandment. Do not tarry in the wilderness.
Yes.
Now, again, when you look at the geography, sorry if you allow me to use that word, of the tabernacle, the tabernacle The outer court is the place of the wilderness. The outside the outer court is Egypt. Remember, they came out of Egypt. Where did they go to? They came into the wilderness. And then they came into Canaan. And Canaan is Christ. And they, of course, you have the first dimension and the second dimension, which is the most positive. So the wilderness is a place that is meant for a temporary sojourn. So anybody that comes from Egypt into the wilderness must be headed for Canaan, because that is the place of promise. And that place of promise is Christ. And to come into Christ, you are speaking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That, and what was the message? He said to Ephesus. Ephesus was an apostolic church. They had apostles, they had everything. And he said, remember from where that has fallen. I don't know about you, but I know where I have fallen. That Jesus has become a concept to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer in love with Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
You understand? That's where I know I have come to. And I'm going back to God and say, Lord, I need to discover that sweetness, that place of relationship. Because that's the beginning. That's the beginning. If we are going to move forward, we must go back to the head. And okay, so I was looking at this flood, that there's a flood coming. I don't know if I'm done with that. But I need to talk about something else. There's another danger. And you see it in chapter 9 of Revelation. This one is stronger. This one is devastating. They are called locusts. This is a locust spirit. Locust spirit. Revelation chapter 9. And Revelation chapter 9 is dealing with something inside the holy place. It is dealing with the fifth station. And of course, you know better than I. The first station is the outer branch. It is a place where the mind is judged, where the emotions are judged, where the desire is judged. It is a place of blood. It is a place where blood comes into the soul and brings life, brings the life of God. It is meant for renovation. It's meant for forgiveness, cleansing of the soul. It's a reception. It's, you know, it's an entrance walk. It's a place where, you know, we receive cleansing. Okay? Life comes into the soul, and then we come to the washing house, the place of sanctification, cleansing, and baptism. But you see, the soul is still in this wilderness, and the eyes of the understanding, all those things are shut. You see, the thing is that when we discover, when we rediscover Christ, we will find out that He's a living God.
Yes.
Now, what is it that makes God living? I will tell you. He said that the gods that you worship, they have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear.
Yeah.
They have nose, they cannot. They have mouths, but they do not speak. And David said, I cried unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And what did He do?
He heard me.
And not just that, what did He do? He delivered me from all
trouble.
There's an excitement that is awaiting you and me. Because I'm suddenly discovering that God is alive. God can hear me. That means I can hear God also, don't you understand? You know, so if I'm going to relate with Him, that means He's going to give me the ability to speak to Him, and then the ability to hear Him. So I'm coming into that place of communication. That is, I'm not speaking to a God that is deaf. So every morning I can hear Him. Amen. when I call unto him, no matter how faint that call is, because he's a living God, he's going to hear me and he's going to answer me.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I told you you'd be excited.
Amen.
I'm discovering that God is living. That he's not an idol.
Amen.
He's not a dead God. Amen. I cried unto the Lord and he heard me.
Amen.
And delivered me from all my God. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The afflictions are not a problem. If I have a relationship with the head.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But because he's there with me, he's hearing me, and he is walking with me, he is speaking with me, he is relating with me, I'm in his presence. You understand? That is, the more you discover that God is alive, then you too begin to be alive. That means you'll be in a place where you too will be hearing, and you will be seeing God, you'll be discerning him. So there is something that is happening to you, there is a change that is happening. In other words, you are coming into a relationship. You know, and for many, this thing has been a concept. You know, it's been a distant God, far in the heaven, far in the sky. Amen. Hallelujah. Where was I now? Okay, where? Revelation 9. So, Revelation 9 is speaking about the locust, and I was going there. And there's a reason why we need to know about the locust. If you can just... let's look at it, verse 1 and 2. You see, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke that came out of the pit. And out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men or souls which have not the seal of God in the mind.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Ambrosini was praying about the mind. Amen. The mind is critical. The mind is critical. And the thing is, you cannot give what you do not have. You can't manufacture it overnight. There has to be a ceiling on the mind. You know? There has to be a ceiling on the mind. The locust has authority over the mind of those who have not received. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's back up a bit to verse chapter 7. Can we read back to chapter 7, verse 1? And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. That's speaking of the soul, holding the four wings of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel or ministry ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God.
Amen.
And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to do what? You see, whenever the Bible tells you of a spirit, it tells you the authority of that spirit. It tells you the character of that spirit. It tells you the mission of the spirit also. So this spirit has an authority.
Yeah.
And it was given to them to do what? To hurt the earth and the sea. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. Seal.
Yes.
Until we have sealed the servants of our God in their man.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read it together. We have a spirit that's walking. It is seeking minds that have not been sealed. And it has an authority to destroy. But there is something that spirit does to the mind, so that it causes the mind to desire death. In other words, to desire lifeless lifestyles. Like Facebook. Okay, sorry, I'm looking for trouble. Forgive me. Forgive me. Oh my God. Okay, well, that was the digression, so let me come back. So there is something that is happening to the mind.
Yes.
Well, there's something that should be happening to my mind. I have a space. I have a time. And you know, in Nigeria, I'm telling you, we invested prayer. I don't know about that. I know we invested prayer. Okay, and we prayed. Down the line, game was changing. So we changed the prayer. We said, God, choose for us. Because we came to a point where we ran out of ideas, you know. So we said, we retreated and said, God, choose for us. I was very close. One time it was going this way, another time it went another way. Okay. So I believe God has intervened.
Amen.
You may not believe it, but God has intervened.
Amen.
And it's possible. I don't know where we will see whether it was that intervention was to give us more time. Or if it has fast tracked the destruction. Amen. You have your own in a few weeks' time. I will advise you to pray. You better pray. Because it will do two things. Either it gives you more time, or it will fast track the destruction. Amen. I believe in the US you got more time. Because the Republicans came in and had more control over the Congress. So for whatever it is, maybe it is, or maybe it is not.
Oh, the tears.
But the point is, brethren, is that there is a movement in the church and in the world, and that movement is directed at the mind. And what it is doing is that there is an authority that has been granted, you know, to spirit to bring destruction. And at the same time, there's also an authority that is being granted to ministry to bring a sealing.
Amen.
And that sealing is upon the mind.
Mm.
But let me read the scripture. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3:16 is a word that is being spoken to us at this time. What's that word? That he will grant you and grant
amen,
me
amen, yes, amen.
According to the riches of his glory. To be what?
Strengthened with might.
To be strengthened with might. Where?
In the inner man.
And the strength coming, brethren. Do you hear the cries?
Yes.
Are you willing to awake Zion?
Amen.
There is a door that is being opened. Are we willing to walk into it? Amen. There is a ministry that is being released to bring a strengthening. And that strengthening is a strengthening in the inward man. Amen. The inward man is speaking of the dimensions of the soul, speaking about the heart. There's a reason why that is being done, because there is something that's happening in the dimension of the heart. And that is something that we have not laid hold upon and it is spiritual Babylon. Spiritual Babylon. There is something happening at the heart. And it is a place where you and I must overcome. And you say, come out of Babylon. We have to overcome in that place. But we will come there later. So what I've tried to do is to show from the scripture where we are and what is it that's happening where we are and where God wants us to be headed. We don't have time to talk about how we'll get there. Hopefully we will, because by God's grace, we'll try to make this very practical. Because it says, write the vision and make it very plain, that he may run that redeemed it. Amen.
Amen.
So, there's a movement out of the outer court.
Jesus.
But the thing is, who is making this movement? Who is the one that is making this movement? Because we have to answer that question. Who is the one that is making the movement? The man making the movement is the soul. And the man making the movement is the mind. And there's a movement from a lower dimension of life to a higher dimension of life. Let's read from the scripture, Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Okay, my time is running now. Okay, I'll close with just two scriptures. There's one more coming. Isaiah 14.
14 or 40?
40. 40.
40.
Yes. Isaiah 40:28 says, "Hast thou not heard?"
Yeah.
"That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not.
Amen.
Neither is weary. There is no stanching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint.
Amen. Amen.
And to them that have no mind, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk
and not
faint."
Hallelujah.
We are speaking of eagles. There is something eagles do. Eagles are attracted by the light. Amen. Eagles are attracted by the light. Are you attracted by the light?
Yeah.
Are you attracted by the light?
Amen.
Are you attracted by the light?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, there's something that God said to me. I want to share with you. He said, "What is it that makes you a son of God?" Think about it. What is it that makes you a son of God? When he said he created him in his image
and his likeness.
Okay, we're not going into it. It's just an introduction. But let's look at it. It was reading John chapter 1. He said, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. In him was life. And that life was the light of man." Okay, so let's put it this way. There are two types of mind. You know, there are two types of the mind. Okay, let me show you. In Egypt, there is one type of mind. And the nature of that mind is the nature of... Sorry, you have to pardon me. I know you are English people, you are Polish. But pardon my expression. You know, when you're watching the film, they say some of the images you see may be disturbing. You know, when you are listening to news and they want to show you Boko Haram and the Iraq, they warn you some of the images you see may be emotionally disturbing. So some of the words you may hear now may disturb you emotionally. But pardon me. You see, in Egypt, there's a man called Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh is representative.
Yes.
I want you to understand. Pharaoh is representative of Egypt. Remember, we're talking about the image and the likeness of God. All right? Good. So in Egypt, there is a man you find there. His name is Pharaoh. When you look at Pharaoh, there's something that strikes you. What strikes you? He has something on his head.
Yeah.
What is it?
Snake.
You are the one that said it.
But that is it.
What happens to the snake? It's headbound. The snake hugs the earth. It loves the earth. It cannot rise from the earth because the whole belly is headbound.
Jesus.
I don't know if you understand. There is a mindset that is fallen. And it's headbound. The Bible uses another word, Philistine. You know what the Philistine means? Philistine means a lover of the earth. A people that roll in the dust. There's nothing you do to them that can make them rise from the earth. You watch them, in 2 minutes, where are they? Back again. It's Philistine. And they have 5 dimensions. You understand? One of them, he gives you an example. Samson was a son of God, and he had to contend with that mindset. Okay, he was anointed, he was called of God, but where did he end up? He ended up in Gath, the place of entertainment, wine making, merry making. And of course, you know the story. He found himself on the laps of Delilah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about days that wait upon the Lord. But you see, there's another type of the mind, and it is the mind of Christ. And it is represented by the cherubims. You understand? There are two. So you have to decide where you want to go. I don't know if you understand. You also have another mind. You see that they are ever saying what? Holy,
holy,
holy. The cherubim speaks of a Christ-like, light-loving,
yes,
light-feeding nature of the mind.
Hallelujah.
And both dimensions are available now. Yes. Amen. Yes. So which one are you going to choose? Are you choosing the serpentine, edge-bound, a mind that is fed by the energy of the earth, or a mind that feeds upon the light of God? God said to me, the likeness of God is light. God is light. Amen. I don't know if you heard that.
Yes.
The likeness of God is light. Sons of God feed, receive their energy from the light.
Amen.
The more energy they have, the more light they become. I don't know if you understand.
Yeah.
And you find a transition. You find a rising. Somebody is rising. Are you among those who are rising in their mind? Remember, you have the locus. The locus is the determining factor. The locus does not... He's looking for minds that have not been sealed, who do not have the capacity to rise. Amen. He said that those minds, they desire death. When the scorpion, when the locust bite the people, it's like the sting of a scorpion. And that they desire death and can't even have death enough. You know, so there is a mind that desires to have fellowship with darkness and cannot be filled. So it is hell. It is a state and realm of hell that this mind and the soul begins to get into. Amen. I thought you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, we're speaking about this altar call. So, the word is saying, come out of Babylon. We have heard that word, and I found out that I have forgotten about it. I don't know about you. I'm sure you remember it very well. But the strength of that word has left me.
Oh, Jesus.
I used to be passionate about coming out of Babylon, but I have lost that word because my mind has fallen and it's now earthbound. But the promise is that they that wait upon
them
shall be in you.
Amen.
They shall be strengthened in the inward
man.
They shall begin to mount up with wings as the eagle.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay, let's read one more scripture. I had one more to read. No, we have to close. I go ahead and say, come back. But please permit me to read this one. John chapter 1. This is a very important scripture.
Yes. John 1.
John 1. Amen. Jesus was talking to Nathaniel. You know the story. So I won't go to take your time. But let's go to 50:51. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw you under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than this. And he said unto him, verily, verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God. This is the ladder. Have you seen the ladder before? Here is the ladder. From the outer court is one level. The holy place is another level. The holiest of all is the highest level. Amen. And men are ascending. The angels of God are ascending. Amen. And when they receive life, they descend with life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is possible for me and you to rise, to ascend in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The agent of that ascension is Christ. Our relationship with the head.
Jesus.
Actually, the scripture says that Jesus is the savior of the body. That means that the head is pulling the body in. Would you allow yourself to be imposing? Before God was showing me the scripture, remember the scripture you showed me about the thread, the cord? There's a pull, the head is pulling the body. Yes, we are being pulled in. Would you allow yourself to be pulled in? I was telling God, I actually, it's disappointing when I find myself that I'm actually very comfortable in here, because I feed from the earth. I don't know about you, but I see in me tendencies that love the earth. You know, I was telling somebody, you see, the problem is not an Islamic man shooting me with AK-47. That's not the problem. I'm sure God can shield my mind that I'm not afraid. And I say, okay, shoot, I'm ready to go. You understand? But the greater death is death to self. How many of us are willing to die to self?
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. That's the greater death. Hallelujah. Say amen now.
Amen.
We are being called to die to the earth. And that is the Third World War. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we going to overcome?
Yes.
The earth. You know what John says? John 3:9 says that men love darkness. I don't know about you. Do you love darkness?
No.
Well, scripture says that men love darkness rather than light. You know, we find a propensity, that's and that is the overcoming that we have to have. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Let's end with the last scripture. We will close. Mm-hmm. This is the last one. Luke 24.
By the grace of God.
The last
one. Somebody say doesn't believe you.
So believe me. This is the last one. You know why God smuggled in? 24. Well, it's an encouragement.
Yes, amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Matthew 24.
You said Luke.
Oh, sorry, Luke 24. Okay, verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 24:24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women said, but him they saw not. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Remember, if you read that, it says that two of them were on the road of Emmaus and Jesus came and joined them. And they couldn't see him, they didn't know who he was because their eyes were veiled.
31 is the one you want?
Yes. Verse 28. It says, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. Verse 29 is actually, for me, that is the key. You see, and they constrain him.
Hallelujah.
Are you constraining the Lord? Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus wanted to go. It was a test. Are you in the place where you are constraining him? Amen. Someone says, I buy with me, fast falls the eventide. Was the song. He said, and they constrain him, saying, abide with us.
Hallelujah.
For it is toward evening. I would say it is toward midnight. And the day is far spent.
Yes.
And he went in and carried with them. That's the promise. If you and I will constrain him, he will not go.
Amen.
He will not leave us.
Yes.
Amen. He's going to come.
Yes.
And he will tarry with you. Amen.
Amen.
That's the promise.
Amen.
Amen. Look at that. And it came to pass. And as he sat at meat with them, that's the shoebread, don't you understand? And as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and break it, and gave to them. And what do you say happened to them? And their eyes were opened. Not just that, and they knew him. Didn't they see him before? And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight.
Mm.
And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
Yeah.
And they rose up the same hour and returned. They had a message. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's excitement.
Hallelujah.
You know, so you and I have to determine which side of the boundary we want to be. Remember, there's a river. It's called Jordan. It's a place of death. You know, you enter Jordan by faith. Amen. He told Peter, come. And Peter stepped on the word. Hallelujah. And as he stepped on the word, Jordan began to part. And he began to walk on the water. He began to walk on their conditions. He began to walk on the circumstances. He began to have dominion. Amen. Are you having dominion? Have you heard the word? Have you constrained him?
Oh my God.
Are you constraining him to come? You do not find Jesus in your condition. Have you constrained him to come?
Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. Amen. That is a hope. That I can come to him.
Yeah.
And he can open the door. Yeah. Say, my sheep, hear my voice. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Okay, I would have got to another scripture, but the bearing has stopped me, so I will stop. So we'll probably deal with that later. Amen. But brethren, there is a word. He said, remember from whence thou hast fallen.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And do what?
Repent.
And do the first work. We have to discover our personal relationship with the Lord.
Yes,
that's the bottom
line.
Yes. Without that, we can't go further. Because he is the one that brings you into the holy place. See, when you come into the holy place, there is oil and there is wine.
Mm.
He says, do not hurt the oil and the wine.
You see,
this bridegroom must be prepared. In the altar court, you are the priest. The soul is the priest in the altar court because it's the place of offering. In the holy place, the soul receives authority and power, and the nature of the soul is changed. But this is where it's happening. This is the place for union, marriage, oneness. I say, he that is joined unto the Lord
is one
spirit. That's when the soul is saved. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we bow our heads to pray? Amen. Do you have a personal relationship with the head? Is he dwelling in your house? Do you have a room? Do I have a room in my heart for Jesus? See, there was no room for Jesus in the inn. Therefore, he went somewhere else. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears the voice and opens the door, I will come in. We can have a new relationship. We can rediscover that personal relationship. We can come to the head. We can begin to see him. He said so they didn't know he was the Lord. Their eyes were heavy. But he opened their eyes and they saw him. All right.